Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still-trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. While supplies last.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Christian Arcan Show on WEEI.
So we move into the 7 o'clock hour here. It's the Christian Arcan Show, WEEI. We are going to take Craig Breslow live right here on these airwaves. So as soon as he starts talking, I will zip my lip and we will go right to Fenway Park and we will hear from Craig Breslow, who's at Fenway, right? This is where the presser is taking place. Is that right? I think. I don't know, actually. So I shouldn't say that, but I think that's where it is. That's where they usually have them. Rob Bradford will be joining me this hour. We'll talk with him. We will also be talking with Pat from the Play Tessie podcast at 7:30. Looking forward to that. I just realized I don't know Pat's last name. What's Pat's last name?
Pat Brown.
Pat Brown. I just know him by their... They all have, like, you know, they all just have, like, their radio.
It's Gordo, Sammy, and Pat.
Gordo, Sammy, and Pat.
They don't ever say their full names.
Right. It's like the RZA, the JZA, you know, it's like the Wu-Tang Clan. They all have their nicknames, you know? Wu-Tang Clan, they have all sorts of nicknames. They got tons of nicknames. Someone's mad at me on the text line right now, saying that I'm not talking enough about the new pitchers. I think I've given the new pitchers a lot of time, talked a lot about them. I've talked a lot about Steven Matz and what he's become over the course of his career. I said that he's had a good year this year. He's a good reliever. He was an effective reliever for the Cardinals as a long man and a potential spot starter. And I do think that he is an upgrade over guys like Alcala, Cooper Criswell, Bernardino. I think he's an upgrade over those pitchers, sure. But I didn't think that the Red Sox were a long relief swing man away from competing. That's the point. Like, I didn't think that they were a back end of the rotation guy in Dustin May, who's a 4 or a 5, maybe, and Steven Matz as a swing man reliever away from being a World Series team. And who knows? Maybe they get hot and I look like an idiot. You know, I guess that's entirely possible. I look like an idiot all the time. Okay? That's nothing new over here.
I'm with you, though. Like, bullpen was, we agree, rotation, a bat in the lineup, and bullpen were the three needs. Bullpen was probably number three on that one.
I would say it was. And bullpen, by the way, when we were talking about that, we were talking about back end of the bullpen. We were talking about a legitimate eighth inning regular. I guess that, you know, with the whole situation with Dobbins and his injury and the whole situation with Fitz, never mind. Here's Craig Breslow. He has just started talking. Here he is right now.
Craig, can you just give us a rundown on kind of what today was like, you know, how close you felt you came on things and kind of what you ultimately end up with Dustin May?
Yeah, so I think, you know, the place to start is, you know, the team has been playing well in a position, you know, where you know, the playoffs are pretty firmly in view. Felt like we needed to do what we could to try and bolster the team. I think I've been pretty outspoken about that. You know, and so we pursued as much as we possibly could. Ultimately, you know, brought in Mats and May and Dustin. Feel like we've got a, you know, tried and true and battle tested starting pitcher, coming from an organization that's had a ton of postseason success, and somebody who can step into our rotation and add to our pitching group.
Craig, I know you had talked about wanting to add a front of the rotation starter, maybe someone to slide behind Crochet. How do you feel May fits that role, or if he maybe profiles sort of towards the back of the rotation, and just how you see the rotation in general kind of going forward?
Yeah, well, you know, I think where our rotation has gone, we've followed, and when we've gotten really good starting pitching, you know, we've won a bunch of games. We've been competitive. I think Dustin fits into that group. I don't know how much sense it makes to say exactly what he is. Ultimately, you know, what he does over the next 2 months and beyond is going to define his time here in Boston. You know, we pursued a number of really impact opportunities. Obviously not all of them work out, but it wasn't from a lack of trying to be as aggressive as possible, from an unwillingness to get uncomfortable. But ultimately it takes two teams lining up for, you know, for those, trades to line up.
Greg, did you ultimately feel the price for front of the rotation starters was too high?
No, I don't think this is about an unwillingness to include guys or anything like that. You know, teams have to like our players in order for that to happen. And, you know, we went into this deadline feeling like, you know, in order to accomplish what we needed to accomplish, what we hoped to accomplish, we couldn't, you know, we couldn't take some of our young minor league players off the table. We couldn't go into this with untouchables, and we didn't. You know, we were willing to talk about all of our guys in the name of improving the team. It just didn't work out.
Craig, how would you describe just kind of your emotional takeaway from this deadline? Are you disappointed you didn't get more done? Are you pleased with what you did? Just how would you square that?
Yeah, I think all of those emotions can be true at the same time, in that, you know, we're happy with the guys that we brought in with Steven and Dustin. But we also pursued, you know, real impact players that we felt like could improve our team in 25 and beyond. You know, like I said, we were kind of uncomfortably aggressive in trying to pursue them, and the players that we were willing to put into deals. And ultimately, you know, it wasn't from a lack of effort. Other teams needed to say, hey, that, you know, that's enough, you know, or that crosses the line. But like I said, it wasn't about, you know, an unwillingness to talk about our full system. You know, and I think in a lot of ways, some of the deals that we've made, talking about the Crochet Day deal as an example, and a willingness to give up some of our best young players to improve our major league team. You know, that was instructive in terms of how we approached this deadline. But, you know, ultimately we didn't line up with other teams in those pursuits.
Craig, in terms of thinking about moves that would have involved the major league team, how much did that change over the month of July? You know, we were talking with you a few weeks ago about the potential for outfield surplus. How much did Myers' injury reconfigure that that potential avenue? And can you give us an update on Marcelo?
Yeah, you know, I think Marcelo is still trying to get as much information as possible. We'll have a second opinion and then determine kind of what the right course is here. So we're still collecting information on that front. But then in terms of, you know, potentially dealing from a surplus with our major league team, you know, I think over the last 2 to 3 weeks, you know, it became clear that all 26 guys on our roster were contributing to what we were doing. And, you know, we weren't willing to take a hit to our major league team and potentially impact the 2025 season, you know, in favor of trying to repackage or repurpose in a way that might have improved the future. And there weren't really opportunities to both trade off of our major league team and improve our 2025 outlook. So we felt like it was best to kind of leave that group as it was and, you know, try to use what I think is a strong and deep system to try to improve the team. And I think, you know, with Dustin and Steven, we did that. But in some other pursuits, like I said, you know, it wasn't from an unwillingness to talk about anybody in our system.
Craig, there was a report from late Wednesday night that you were engaged on maybe the best bat that changed hands during the last couple of days, realizing that most of your focus was on pitching. How much did of your time was spent on looking for a bat and one that could maybe help you at first base?
Yeah, we spent, we spent pretty significant time trying to add a bat, but someone again that could, you know, impact the roster and, represent a meaningful upgrade over the guys that we have either on our team or, potentially in AAA that we feel like would immediately improve, the roster. We weren't able to line up, but again, like none of the, none of the deals that didn't end up being executed, in my opinion, came from a lack of being aggressive or an unwillingness to get uncomfortable. But it does take two teams to line up in order for trades to go across the line.
Greg, what can you tell us about Steven Matz and what role do you see him fitting in the bullpen or in the pitching staff in general?
Yeah. So, he's obviously been, he served multiple roles in the big leagues, but, you know, it seems like out of the pen, the stuff is ticked up. He's got, a really good fastball that plays to both sides. He's a great strike thrower who's been in kind of pressure situations before. So we feel like he's someone that, you know, Alex can call upon in the seventh, eighth, ninth inning, and get really big outs for us. If you kind of look at what he's done out of the pen, he's been really, really good.
Craig, considering his history starting, if need be, could you try to stretch him out at some point?
You know, I think I don't want to close the door on anything. That would have to be a conversation. My hope is that with the current rotation and also some of the younger guys who have recently gotten to AAA, who are likely to get to AAA here pretty soon, that we'll also be able to draw from some of our internal depth. But we're obviously going to do whatever we need to do to try to win games down the stretch here. And, you know, if that means getting him stretched out a little bit or taking on a little bit more of a bulk role, then we'll explore it.
Hey, Greg, as far as not having untouchables and needing other teams to like the players, like your players to make a deal, did it surprise you that what you had, players you presumably like, weren't enough or weren't appealing enough to the teams you were talking to?
I don't know if that is, I don't know if that is surprising. You know, I think a lot of, a lot of the industry does appreciate the young players that we have in our system. And, we tried to work through different combinations of guys. And like I said, didn't approach some of these conversations as though any players were off limits, and we couldn't, we couldn't line up, and we were pursuing, multiple impact players. And obviously on the other side, teams that were operating as sellers were trying to juggle different concepts and, for whatever reason, we weren't able to line up. But, I do think that there's pretty widespread sentiment across the industry that we have a really solid group of young players, many of whom are already impacting our big league club. And so, I think the outlook is really good, not just for 2025, but beyond.
And despite your status or your position as buyers, did you have teams calling you about, say, Chapman with what the reliever rental market was doing?
No, I think there are teams that are doing their due diligence and checking in. Obviously we recognize what trading somebody like Chappie would mean. And so didn't have the appetite to go down that path. But yeah, I think everybody kind of makes these calls to figure out what might gain traction and one wouldn't, but you know, we're a much better team when, you know, when AC can call down to the bullpen and get Chapman up for the ninth inning with a lead.
Craig, maybe I have this wrong and hopefully you can help me just understand, but you mentioned how it takes two to tango and some of the other teams weren't really interested in some of your guys and how you went off to try to make an impact move, get an impact player. But earlier in the season, you traded Rafael Devers for what you called developmental opportunities. And I'm just wondering if there's any regret associated with trading Devers at that time and maybe not trying to get an impact player back for a player like that, who you know a lot of other teams would have been interested in.
Well, you know, I think what we have to evaluate is the, you know, how we've played, you know, and I think there are some different considerations to that trade. You know, again, Rafi is a very, very good hitter and a very talented player. It brought up some, it created some flexibility in our roster, you know, created a little bit more versatility in terms of playing time and position. I think ultimately, we've played very well and won a bunch of games since that time. You know, I think that's how I would characterize kind of the aftermath of the trade. But I think the broader point here is, you know, I understand and we understand as a front office and as an organization how precious and valuable winning seasons are. And so we were doing everything we could over the last 2 weeks to try and bolster the team. But it, you know, a team has to say yes to our offer, or give us, you know, some type of counter that we can work with in order to execute a trade.
Craig, what do you guys like about May specifically? And could he start for you as soon as tomorrow with the TBD spot?
You know, I think we're still working through when the right time is to get him into the rotation, just given a bit of a whirlwind day, I'm sure, for him. And sometimes, you know, having to get somebody to travel and settle in and then take the ball in a start could be a hefty ask, but we'll work through that. You know, I think ultimately what we see in Dustin is, you know, a guy who really limits hard contact, keeps the ball on the ground at a strong rate. You know, feel like that's something that will play well here at our park. You know, is battle tested, has premium stuff, you know, and a bona fide starter that can take the ball for us every 5 days.
Greg, none of this happens in a vacuum this time of year. When you look around at the wild card picture and the rest of the American League, the Yankees, Seattle, Texas, Detroit, others improved. You might look at it on paper and say they improved more than you did today. How much does that concern you since this is all kind of all in one pool, at least some of those teams fighting for that same spot that you are?
Yeah, you know, we can't ignore what other teams are doing. You know, at the same time, our focus today was identifying and pursuing the players that we felt like were good fits, for our team. And ultimately we're all going to be defined by what happens from tomorrow through, you know, our last game, of the season and potentially the playoffs. And so, you know, I think it's really easy to sit here today and evaluate the trades that were made and how much better we think teams got on paper. Ultimately, those questions are going to be answered for us. You know, like I said, we were as aggressive as we could possibly be in pursuits. Some of them worked out and some of them didn't. And that's the nature of a trade deadline.
Craig, May is already pretty much well over his career high in innings. You know, how do you look at that going down the stretch and how that affects, you know, how he might be used?
Yeah, you know, he feels good. The stuff has continued to trend in the right direction. So, you know, we'll do everything we can to, you know, provide the recovery and resources and monitor workloads, the same way we would anybody else. But don't feel like there are kind of restrictions on usage here.
Do you see, Mr. Breslow, do you see Stephen Matz taking the role, the spot of Bernardino or Murphy, and what do you saw about Tibbs in during his time in the Red Sox organization?
Sorry, with Matz's time in this.
What do you saw in the Tibbs times in the organization, and what spot do you think that Stephen Matz will get once he he's on the team.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, in terms of the spot that he'll take, obviously that will be a conversation that we'll work through. But you know, in terms of what we think he brings, like I said, you know, the stuff has been really good out of the bullpen. He's been an elite strike thrower, and you know, the stability of bringing someone in late in games and leverage situations that you know is going to compete in the zone is really, really encouraging and you know, inspires confidence. We really like the way that the stuff is played versus right and versus left, particularly the fastball, and feel like he's capable of getting high leverage outs for us down the stretch.
Craig, recognizing that fans are obviously not seeing behind the scenes and everything, you guys made fewer moves this week than you did at last year's trade deadline. Obviously, the efficacy of those moves will play out in the coming weeks. But what would you say to fans who are frustrated thinking that the team is in a really good position and they just watched other teams make huge trades and maybe you guys didn't get some of those players that you were in on?
Yeah, I understand the frustration and, you know, the disappointment, because we're all looking at you know, the last week right now in terms of the trades that were made and weren't made. And, you know, there's not a lot of sympathy for how hard we tried to get deals across the line. I understand that. You know, we believe that we have a really young, exciting, talented team, and one that is capable of continuing to perform at this level and make it to the postseason. That's what our focus is on. And this, you know, the decisions that were made at this deadline, they weren't driven by, like I said, an unwillingness to be aggressive. They weren't driven by taking, you know, a highlighted or reinforced view of 2026 or 2027. We were aggressively pursuing acquisitions that could help us in 2025, and you know, they didn't line up. But I think if you know, if fans were in the office during this deadline, they would see that, you know, guys that we maybe didn't expect to be willing to talk about going into these conversations, you know, we've made available, and we tried to put the most aggressive offers that we could in hopes that they were gonna end in deals. And sometimes they did, and sometimes they don't.
Any other questions?
A little bit about the three guys you did give up, and Blaze and Tibbs and Earhart.
Yeah, so obviously position players, you know, and Tibbs came back in the Devers deal, you know, and Earhart and Blaze, both guys who were drafted and developed here, you know, and three good players. We obviously didn't get to know James Tibbs as well as, you know, Blaze and Zach, but feel like they are really good baseball players. They're going to go on to have successful careers. Each does, you know, something that we like, whether it's, you know, James's contact, and you know, Zach has started to hit the ball pretty hard, really good defender in the outfield, and Blaze obviously has been performing really, really well in AAA this year. But you know, you have to be willing to give up good players in order to execute deals. We obviously have found that out, and we're willing to do so. You know, but felt like the additions of Mats and May were worthwhile, just given the position of our major league team right now.
Craig, you mentioned Marcelo was going to get a second opinion. Does that suggest the first one wasn't good, or can you give us some insight as, you know, where he's at? Mm-hmm. You know, if he's going to be able to play again this year?
I think we're still trying to figure all of that out. And you know, I think it's been, you know, it's pretty common practice at this point, just to get multiple opinions, make sure that there's alignment, you know, in terms of what is happening, what the best course is. So we'll get that information, you know, and we'll figure out kind of what the path is from there.
And similarly, do you have more on Tanner after his appointments this week?
I think he is trying to weigh all of the information, figure out, you know, again, kind of what the right course is. You know, obviously I've not had a chance to talk to him over the last 2 days. But you know, we'll tomorrow, and we'll, you know, kind of figure out, you know, at that point, what the course of action is here, and we'll make that available to you guys as appropriate.
I know that you said that, that you had pursued bats, but, in the same vein that, about whether the injury to Marcelo, changed how you would have explored the possibility of trading from the big league roster. Did it change the aggressiveness with which you were pursuing infield help?
I think probably to some extent it did, in that we were engaged in more conversations with more teams. I think there were a few different ways or a few more ways the pieces could come together, just given Sedan moving into the infield. But now that Alex is back and kind of a full go, he can anchor third base. So I think it probably gave us more flexibility in that. Hey, if we got, a bat that played, a particular position, there is enough versatility and pieces that could move around. We've seen that from Sedan. We've seen it from Romy, from, Toro at both corners. And again, ultimately, I think we were willing to be very aggressive. We didn't line up with other teams when it came to adding a bat.
And you mentioned May obviously would be a whirlwind for him to start tomorrow. Have you guys landed on a TBA guy for tomorrow?
Still working through that. Wanted to see how today shook out. And then I'll circle up with AC and we'll make an announcement on that.
These are long days, right? Like, obviously, the buildup to the trade. What is the general feeling at the end of a trade deadline day?
Yeah, I think you're wired for a few days, and then you kind of come down from it. There's, I'm sure, fatigue setting in around the office. I think people are tired. They haven't slept much. They've been away from families. So my hope would be tonight everybody has a chance to catch their breath. And then we start to see a very important series tomorrow here at home. So there isn't a ton of time to dwell on what happened, kind of leading up to today.
Any other questions?
All right. Sounds like that's it. Let's go ahead and disconnect there. Sounds like that's it for Craig Breslow. Breslow answering all sorts of questions from the assembled media there about the deadline, about the players that were acquired, about the process. It was almost in some ways kind of an apologetic tone that you heard from Breslow there, as in we had much more that we wanted to try and do, and we just couldn't get it done for one reason or another, and I think that was the main takeaway that I have from that press conference. We'll go back over it. A lot of quotes that I want to jump into. Rob Bradford will join the show at some point whenever he gets off the Zoom call and gets on in here. And at 7:30, we're going to talk with Pat Brown of the Play Tessie podcast. He'll be calling in to react to what has been pretty underwhelming trade deadline here for your Boston Red Sox. Disappointing, to say the least. And I think you could hear that in the tone from Craig Breslow. But first, here's Joe Braverman to get you caught up on a very busy day with what's trending.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season.
from Crimes of the Paranormal, Unsolved Murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All of those emotions can be true at the same time, in that, you know, we're happy with the guys that we brought in with Steven and Dustin. But we also pursued, you know, real impact players that we felt like could improve our team in 25 and beyond. You know, like I said, we were kind of uncomfortably aggressive in trying to pursue them, and the players that we were willing to put into deals. And ultimately, you know, got, it wasn't from a lack of effort. Other teams needed to say, hey, that, you know, that's enough, you know, or that crosses the line. But like I said, it wasn't about, you know, an unwillingness to talk about our full system. You know, and I think in a lot of ways, some of the deals that we've made, talking about the Crochet Day deal as an example, and a willingness to give up some of our best young players to improve our major league team. You know, that was instructive in terms of how we approached this deadline. But, you know, ultimately, we didn't line up with other teams in those pursuits.
Craig Breslow just spoke to the media. That quote is making the rounds right now. They were uncomfortably aggressive to the point where other teams had to be like, guys, come on. Enough. Enough. We're not making this trade. Whatever you're saying, just stop. Click. More Breslow stuff that I want to pour through as well. But joining us right now here on the phone line from the Play Tessie podcast, the brains of the operation, of course, I'm talking about Pat Brown, who joins me here on the Christian Arcan show. Pat, great to have you. How you doing tonight?
Could be better. If yeah, they had a better deadline.
I agree. I think this was a very disappointing deadline. You just heard Craig Breslow. I don't know if you heard the entire presser. That combined with the moves that were made, have you feeling right now? How?
So disappointed. So beyond disappointed. I mean, the day they trade Rapua, we're at the time, it looked like they're going to full-blown sell. They sing from the mountains, we're buyers, we're buyers. Every single media availability from that point, we're buyers, we're buyers. We're bringing the offseason aggression to the deadline. We're buyers, all this. You're talking about, like, Joe Ryan at the All-Star break. They're in on Merrill Kelly. They're trying to get Yandy Diaz. Like, everything that could have happened at the deadline in a good way just didn't happen. Nothing good today, or yet last night, really. Good happened. Every lot of fine and kind of downright bad happened. It was an incredible disappointment.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm pretty let down by all of this, and especially the fact that we all got catfished by Yahoo Sports and the Joe Ryan thing right before they announced Dustin May. It was already a pretty disappointing move, I'd say, anyway. Not that I'm some big fan of, you know, Mr. Tibbs over there or anything like that, but he was a top 10 prospect in your organization, and you traded him for a guy who it seemed like the Dodgers were just trying to get rid of. You know, like, I didn't think there was a whole lot of bargaining going on right there. The Dodgers have a bunch of guys coming off of IL and figured they didn't need Dustin May, despite the fact that their pitching is in shambles right now. I mean, really, like, their bullpen's been so bad. And they decided that was a risk worth taking.
Yeah, that's the crazy part about it, because they were even kind of alluding to it on the broadcast last week when they were playing Dustin May, saying that this is probably his last start.
Right.
It's a high fours ERA. They have a bunch of guys coming back. May obviously is probably not going to be happy with a bullpen role. Like, you're talking about a guy who's either maybe getting DFA'd or traded at the waiver deadline. Like, and you gave up a top 10 prospect, not just any top 10 prospect, a guy that's going to be for the rest of his career tied to the Rafael Devers trade. And it's just insane to me that not only is that the starting pitching addition, you actually gave up something borderline substantial for him.
Yeah, that's true. Although I do think that just based on the lack of starters that really went around, you know, like Merrill Kelly signed and a couple other guys, but it was mostly closers and mostly like rental bats that you saw get traded here. So I wasn't surprised that if you were going to acquire a starting pitcher, it would be a steep asking price. But again, I didn't even think that Dustin May would be on the radar of a team like the Red Sox, who I think we all were led to believe were going to be targeting more frontline guys. Now, you just heard Craig Breslow there, Pat. To me, he sounded almost like apologetic, like, yeah, sorry we didn't do more. Usually you hear guys come out and really talk up the guys that they traded for, and I got the feeling that it wasn't very celebratory, you know?
Yeah, no, he definitely didn't take the stand today and sound super proud of how things went,
right,
especially considering, you know, he did kind of outline, we tried to go after some substantial pieces, meaningful upgrades, like everyone on the farm was available. And there was a phrase in there where he said, we kind of landed on or settled for like May and Mass. And that's not him saying like, we think we substantially upgraded this roster. Right. This gets us over the hump. Like, he's not saying any of that. So he's at least self-aware in the sense that he knows that, in the regard of what the expectations were, yeah, it was a huge letdown.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Who do you think had the best deadline out of the teams in the American League that the Red Sox are competing with right now?
Oh, so the Mariners obviously got, I would say, maybe two of the best bats traded in Naylor and Suarez.
Yeah.
And that's really all they need. That bullpen is, for the most part, locked down. That rotation, I would argue, is top 3-5 in the league.
And they got Ferguson from Pittsburgh, who's good too, right? Like, they added to that bullpen too, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just kind of, they checked every box they had.
Mm.
The Yankees had a great deadline, but they didn't add a starter, which I thought was odd. But they, I mean, you can't upgrade a bullpen any more than they did in the last, you know, 48 hours. Going out getting Duvall and Bird and all those guys. That
Bednar,
pen is now loaded, and it's going to, and Bednar, yeah. And it's just shortening games at this point. So you can live with some subpar started pitching because the game's only going to be about 5 or 6 innings anyway. But those two in my mind jump out. The Rangers had a great deadline, but those two in my mind jump out as like the clear winners in the American League.
Yeah, I thought the Rangers had a good one too. I thought the Astros had a decent little deadline. Toronto, you know, a lot of teams were very active. Are the Red Sox still a playoff team in your mind?
In my mind right now, no. No, they're not. Because, and I've been kind of saying it on the podcast for a couple of weeks now, that I would give my judgment on the season after the Dodgers series. And I had said, if they make marginal upgrades to this roster, I lean yes. I don't even know if you could look me in the eye and say they made marginal upgrades. Because to me right now, could you say that Steven Matz is a better reliever than Brendan Bernardino, Chris Murphy, Justin Wilson, and Aroldis Chapman?
No, but not, you know, I'd say he's better than Criswell and Alcala, you know, like you upgraded that at least, like if that's the role that you have for him. But you just heard Breslow say 7th, 8th, and 9th inning for him. So, yeah, I don't really know.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is especially with Matz, he's a lefty. The chances they carry five lefties is pretty slim. So the guys that I highlighted, of the five, he might be better than one, maybe two. But the fact that's not, you know, a unanimous yes is the sign of not a huge upgrade. And then Dustin May, I mean, it'd be hard to be worse than Walker Buehler. And it's to the point where, yeah, at this point, he probably gives you a little bit more than Richard Fitz was, especially over the last couple of starts. So that's a marginal upgrade in my eyes if he at least stays healthy. But, I mean, granted what the other teams around you did, you kind of made some lateral or marginal upgrades, and everyone else around you got way better.
Who was your white whale, Pat? Who did you really have your heart set on for this deadline?
So, I mean, ideally it was Joe Ryan all along. And then over the past 4 or 5 days, up until really that fluky Fox Sports graphic, it truly sounded like he wasn't really going anywhere. So yeah. I kind of let that ship sail a little bit. My white whale after that was Yandy Diaz. And he didn't move today, so it's not going to kill me. But the Rays kind of did this weird buy, sell, or whatever. But Yandy was my white whale, and I truly did think they had a decent shot at him going into today.
Did you have any untouchables? Were you, like, unwilling to discuss, you know, if it was you in the chair there? Like, were you a don't-trade Duran guy or a don't-trade Christian Campbell guy or anybody like that?
Yeah, so my guys, like Arias, the top two, Arias and Password, I wouldn't have really moved for rentals. If you got like a controllable guy, like a 1+1 kind of thing, we could talk. The one guy that I was not moving for anybody except Mackenzie Gore and Joe Ryan is Peyton Tolley. That is a legit pitching prospect that has been catapulting up boards.
Okay. I know my buddy Joe Braverman over here has been talking a lot about Peyton Tolley lately too. Now I'm think I know where he gets it from. Or you got it from him. Either way, that's the voice of Pat Brown of the Playtesting Podcast joining me here on the Christian Arcan Show. Pat, thanks so much. Great to talk with you, and looking forward to the next episode post-deadline.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
All right, very good. Pat Brown from Playtesting joining me here on the Christian Arcan Show. We got open phone lines, and I don't think we're going to have them for much longer tonight. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Red Sox fans have big feelings right now. I can see it. I can see it in our on our text line. I can see it on the Twitch chat. I can see it on the YouTube chat. People are upset, and there's some calls on the line. Hang on. We'll get to your phone calls and jump on and grab a line right now again at 617-779-7937 right after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Dianaroga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We pursued a number of really impact opportunities. Obviously, not all of them work out, but it wasn't from a lack of trying to be as aggressive as possible, from an unwillingness to get uncomfortable. But ultimately, it takes two teams lining up for those trades to line up.
Craig Breslow, moments ago. Christian Arcan Show here, WEEI, live in our Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. And we're joined live in studio by a very dapper dressed Rob Bradford, who must have just been doing some TV.
I'm respecting the moment. I'm expecting the moment for you.
I'm sorry. I'm blown away seeing Bradford in a shirt and tie.
Really?
I've never seen you in a shirt and tie before.
Sorry to throw you all off.
Got the jelly legs back
in
there.
In 2008. I had a series of wagers for charity with a bunch of the players that I would wear a jacket and tie every single game of the season.
Wow.
Every single game of the season. And I did. And Joe Maddon, one game, came out. He's like, wait a second, I got to go in my office. And it comes out with 10 ties for me.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a thing. That was the last time I wore a jacket and tie.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Anyway, Rob Bradford joining us right now here in studio on the Christian Arcan Show as the trade deadline came and went about 2 hours ago. Steven Matz acquired yesterday. Dustin May acquired today. Some catfishing going on with Joe Ryan and a bunch of other teams that are direct competitors with the Red Sox right now. Other division leaders, other teams in the wild card race, all making some very substantial moves while the Red Sox... You can't say they did nothing, Bradfo. And people are mad. And listen, I'm not happy about this either. But you can't be. You can't say they didn't do a thing, right? You can't say that. Like they checked that box of doing something.
Science would suggest they did something.
They did something. But it's still
my question to you is, what grade would you give them?
C minus.
That's exactly what I just gave.
Really?
Okay. On television, yeah.
Maybe like.
And here's the reason why. There's two problems that they're going to face when it comes to the public opinion of this, which is Breslow was very, very open about what their priority was, which was getting a pitcher who could pitch in a starter who can pitch in the playoffs. That was what his priority was. And then you go to relievers and then you go to potentially first baseman. But getting a starting pitcher who was good enough to pitch in the postseason was the priority, and they didn't do it. They went into it, they said, this is what we need, and they didn't get it. The other problem is that you have so many teams who did so much. You had a lot of teams do a lot of good things. I mean, Tampa Bay, a team that was selling, did better than you.
It's true.
They did. The Tampa Bay, a team that was selling, ended up being better because they got Adrian Hauser and Griffin Jacks. They're better. So, you know, you go down the list, Detroit, the Yankees, I mean, whatever, you can, a million teams. And then you have the press conference where Craig Breslow, it felt like it was just like he was just so just beaten down.
Very apologetic, very, you know, we tried our best, it just didn't work out, you know?
Yeah, but I said this to you, I never heard a GM say, listen, there's only so much we can do. If they don't like our players, they don't like our players. And he's only talking about minor league players because he said that that's what the only pool he was going to draw from.
Is that a mistake, by the way?
Draw from the minor leagues?
To not want to include any major league?
Well, I think the problem is that the guys who are of value in the major leagues are guys that you need to have.
You need to have five outfielders?
No, they don't. That's the problem. They don't have five. Like, so, okay, let's play this game, right? Okay. Yoshida, no value. All right? Okay? Sedan Rafaela, you need him.
Yep.
Will you Abreu, you need him. Jaron Duran, you really need him. This is why they kept him. Roman Anthony, you're not trading him.
Right.
So all those guys are parts of the solution to actually keep winning to get to your goal. You don't need to, and we brought this up about Jaron Duran for Joe Ryan. Well, okay. First of all, Minnesota wouldn't do that. And second of all, for the Red Sox, Jaron Duran has become such a key part of this whole equation, which dealing him is it wasn't really feasible in my mind. So you go through the
if it meant getting a number two starter, I mean, you know, like isn't
okay,
that what
so,
you do
again,
it for?
Sure, you get the number two starter, but for an offense, and I don't want to hear about runs scored, like for an offense that has gone through long stretches of inadequacies. Where you're just you,
which Jaron Duran has been part of, by the way.
Sure, but what we've now since in this month, in the month of July,
great this month, I
great this true, month, yes. And also you've kind of found okay, this is what you need. This is it's like when Bregman checked off like 9 boxes. Mm. Right now, Jaron Duran is checking off like 5 boxes. He's a good number 3 hitter. He's hitting the ball. He's a dynamic offensive player. Also, since Marcelo Meyer, boy, that doesn't sound good. Marcelo Meyer is going to be out, so you have to move Sedan Rafaela to second. So now, all of a sudden, he is not a luxury item. You don't have too many outfielders. He's the guy who plays center field. All that. And also, Jaron Duran, when he's at his best, is such a unique player, which is why A.J. Preller was willing to give up, you know, everybody under the sun to get him.
Yeah.
So to come back to my original statement, from the major league team, the guys who were of value weren't really like that. You needed them. Like the thing that I don't understand is that you have this farm system which has guys who you would think would have value, but evidently they don't have enough.
Yeah, or evidently you weren't willing to combine them in a way that was palatable to some of these teams looking to rebuild. I think that that could be part of it, too, because there's a system here, right? I mean, the Red Sox have a system. They have a system that assigns value to all of these prospects, and when it comes down to trade deadline times, there are certain packages that they don't think compute right and won't put together.
Whatever their equation was to get Joe Ryan, I can give you the equation. I don't have to put it through the what was it? What was the old machine there?
Carmine?
Carmine. I don't have to put it through Carmine. You take your four best prospects, here you go. Because Derek Falvey, the GM of the Twins, doesn't need to trade Joe Ryan.
Right.
He knows that. This is why making these deals at the deadlines are so difficult. So you know what you're gonna have to give up, and that's that. And Derek Falvey's just gonna sit there like just saying, no, sorry. He's playing on the desperation of the Red Sox.
Right.
Now, the Red Sox just clearly weren't desperate enough.
No, and the Twins were very much selling off all their pieces. I mean, rentals to guys with tar, everybody, everything was for sale.
Poor Joe Ryan.
I know.
Last guy left.
The only guy there. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. I believe we have full phone lines, so if you're on the line, hang on. Brad Foe is here, and we will get to your phone calls, let you vent right after these brief words here, right back after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. While supplies last.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.